intro?
Do I want to do it? No, I think I'll pass. This song actually makes me sad. If you don't know, it's the second hour intro to my show, but I love the Civil Wars. I think they're awesome. And they broke up. And so I get sad when I hear it. Like, yeah. They're not going to make anything anymore. This is one of my favorite tunes.
Well, we don't want to make you sad.
Yeah, don't make me sad now.
Don't make the listener sad.
No. This is supposed to be a happy segment.
Yeah, no, I'm not truly sad. If it made me that sad, I would have changed it already. But, you know, that's a lot of work. So.
Well, good morning. You're listening to 710 WFNR. This is AM Hodgepodge with Keith Weltons and Mark Tapp. And this morning, we do have a special guest with us. It is Kyle Bailey. He is the voice of 101.7 FM Super Sports in the clubhouse. And we're talking about his new endeavors, and we'll go back into that just a little bit more. But he is going to be moving to television and still covering Virginia Tech sports, so we'll still be busy. But before we get in, we told you that we were going to have a quick quiz for you. We were going to kind of shake things up.
Is this a beer quiz?
No, okay, not necessarily. Yeah.
I don't know beer like you guys know.
That's right.
No, it's actually doesn't require a whole lot of knowledge.
But, okay. What it does is this is your rapid fire. So in your segment,
okay,
you always have rapid fire news.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to give you some rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
The most important thing is just answer it quickly, okay?
And honestly, or does it matter?
Usually, the quicker you answer, the more honest.
You're right. Okay.
That's it. All right. So the five questions. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Mark. Go.
Right. Beer or wine?
Oh, beer. But I will say, I used to hate wine. I've completely come around. I do enjoy a good glass of wine. And honestly, you know what? There are instances now where I'll go wine instead. And that used to be just blasphemous. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Is that because of the people you're around or just the meal you're having?
No, I just suddenly developed a taste for it, whereas I used to not be able to stomach the stuff. I don't know when it happened, but it did.
Keith knew you would say beer.
Yeah.
And so the next question is Miller Lite or IPA?
Miller Lite.
Yep. All right. Here's a good one.
Yeah.
Hokie football or Dodger baseball?
Ooh. See, that's a nuanced discussion, man.
Now, we already went through all this, and Keith said, he said this. He says, okay, so the first question is going to be beer or wine. He's going to say beer. The next question is going to be Miller Lite or IPA. He's going to say Miller Lite. And then I'll ask him, Hokie football or Dodger baseball? And he's going to go,
ooh.
Yeah.
And you did. So come on, man.
That's a nuanced discussion, man.
You're the one who just said radio was harder than TV. Give it to me.
I don't know, man.
Hokie football, Dodger baseball.
If I have to pick one to watch, live or on television.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
You're asking secondary questions.
Right. That's what part of my job. It's innate in who I am and what I do. I think it's okay. Let's go Hokie football because it's local.
So, all right.
Yeah.
So here's a good one.
He doesn't want anybody waiting outside.
I don't want my tires slashed.
All right. Trump tie or Trump the candidate?
Oh, Trump tie.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Trump tie. I wasn't a big... Do we talk politics on this show?
Yeah, periodically.
Periodically. I'm not... Trump's fine. I mean, I think his personality's great for the campaign and for the cycle and all that stuff, but I wasn't a fan of the John McCain comments. I'll say that.
Yeah. So. All right. Last one. College game day in Blacksburg or sleeping in until 10?
Oh, game day.
Okay.
All day. No, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Okay.
I'll figure that out later when I'm, you know, getting eaten by worms or something. That was kind of morbid, huh?
How many alarms did you have to set to get up and get in this morning?
I'm actually pretty good.
Because this was 9:30, by the way, right?
Yeah, I know.
9 o'clock.
I was actually awake at about 8:15, and I would have been awake before that because my problem is I can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
I stay up too late.
I know.
You know, I'll get to reading something.
It's Dodger baseball West Coast.
Yeah, I'll be listening to Vin or watching a game or like the internet's like a rabbit hole. You know,
for you, it's got to be just amazing.
I'll read an article that I like, and you get to the bottom of the article, and you get like six more links to other interesting things that you like. Well, I should probably read this too, you know. And then I do, and then an hour and a half later, it's 2 a.m. So
and there I can't imagine there's a game in the world you can't listen to.
Yeah,
that's actually it's funny because you know my dad has talked about picking up the MLB TV package for a couple of years now. He's a diehard Dodgers fan. I like the idea of that, but I actually just I carry my iPhone around and I have the MLB radio app and I'll just sync it up to the Bluetooth on my car.
Yep.
And if I'm driving back from the Yankees game at night or wherever I'm going, if the Dodgers game's not on, I'll just go back and forth between the Nationals games and Braves games. I love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
This is something that we've talked about. So for people who don't know, I'm on every Tuesday. And if you don't know, shame on you.
Shame on you.
But I started on Tuesdays, right? I come on at 5 o'clock or 5:05, whatever it is, on your show. And one of the things that you asked me to do, and we've done it now just a little over a year, was to come in and talk about money in sports and that sports business side of it. And it's been an eye-opener. opening thing. I mean, I am a, you know, I follow sports. I really don't have a lot of time additional beyond raising five kids, you know, running a business and all the other things that go with it. So, you know, I pigeonhole myself into a, you know, Virginia Tech fan, a Radford University fan, the local high school, stuff like that. Beyond that, it's I struggle. But then talking about the
except for the San Antonio Spurs.
Except for Spurs, baby. Oh, gosh. But when you talk about the money that's in sports, that was just a really interesting topic. And there is this whole reporting industry that has made its niche in doing nothing but that. There is all this information and numbers, and it really starts to sway fans' views of the sports when they start to understand where the money is going and everything else. You had mentioned how Boston recently, right, said, hey, listen, we're not going to go ahead and accept the Olympic bid because of the costs that are associated with that. And when you were in Brazil, you saw the effects of, you know, money, yeah, it's being spent, but what could it have done beyond that? And the displacing of people, things like that.
Yeah, it all boils down to who's spending the money where it comes from, right? I mean,
right.
That's the thing. If organizations, if franchises, if governing bodies are the ones spending the money on their own product, on their own teams and players and personnel, that's, you know, great. But when you start talking about, for instance, Brazil or Boston, and you're talking about taxpayer dollars being allocated for sport expenditure, and you're in a city where you already have failing infrastructure or social services are below standard or whatever it is, that's really what my two-year graduate program helped me to really understand and get a grasp on. You know, just to see, you know, for instance, you know, it happens here in the States, not to the same degree, but in Brazil and Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo, you know, just to see the juxtaposition of wealth and affluence right next to poverty and just dire situations and people who don't have enough to eat. And it's shameful is what it really is. Now, Boston's not in that same category. You know, the discrepancy in income, the discrepancy in quality of life is not that drastic. But when you start talking about spending money on infrastructure, on sporting events, and you're using taxpayer dollars to do it, when you're putting it on the backs of people who already can't afford to go to these games and to enter these stadiums, I think it's shameful. So I think the money in sports, it can be interesting when you start talking about salaries and who makes the most and, you know, what ticket prices are the most insane. That stuff's fun, but it does allow you to look deeper into, you know, socioeconomic topics and to see, okay, where have we placed sport on our priority list, on the hierarchy of things that matter to us, and is that where it's supposed to be?
Right.
I think that's actually really cool to hear from a guy that's all into sports and announces it, and I think it's great to hear that.
I love it, but yeah. I mean, it's so important. Like I tell people all the time, I go back, I love watching sports, I love playing sports, all of it, but you can't lose focus.
Yeah.
You can't lose sight of what's actually important here, you know?
Yep. And Keith, you kind of alluded to that too. I mean, you have to make time for your family, and if you got a little time left over, you'll do the sports. But at some point, you got to live.
Well, you're the average sports fan. People don't realize that. You know, I say it all the time. You're the average sports fan, the guy that has kids, has a career, has other interests, and you're not going to sit down and watch 3-4 baseball games a week.
I can't.
You know, you're not going to haul your kids out to an NFL football game or a college football game every week because it would cost you a fortune. You know, it would cost you more than your mortgage. So aside from the fact that you do sports radio with me, you are the average sports fan.
Yeah. And I think it's great because, see, people get a real sense of your perspective. You know, when you make a comment like that, you're now going to be doing high school football, right? Are you going to be doing some high school football?
Some high school football, some college football, some college basketball, some high school basketball.
Yeah. So it's really the amateur side that you're going to be doing it. But even on that amateur side, you know, we've talked about whether it's Salem trying to monetize their press box or their additional seating on the top to season ticket holders, right, to the money that's flowing into the college side of it. I mean, it's always important to remember that it started out as this agreement, right, for folks to say, we're going to help take care of the youth. We're going to give them some physical exercise, teach them how to be better citizens through sport. And now it's
give them something to do that doesn't involve a paint can.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's become this massive, massive industry. So to hear someone like you say that, it's really important. How much do you think of the general media, and I'm going to lump you now into the greater pool, actually sees it that way, or are they just looking for the next next story about, you know, wins, losses, and ERAs?
I don't know. I feel like
there are factions within the sports media, right? You know, Tim Brando was talking about this not too long ago, leading into SEC and ACC media days. He said, I don't go to those things. And somebody asked him, why not? He said, I'm a play-by-play guy. He said, I don't have any need to go. He said, you know, if you're a talk radio guy on Radio Row, if you're a print reporter, it makes sense for you to go and get stories and get quotes. He said, but it doesn't make sense for me. So I think there are factions within sports media where you can look at people and their roles and their jobs and get a good idea right off the bat of how they look at things and their approach to their jobs. I know it's a generalization, but, you know, for instance, I think there are a lot of people out there who take this job way too seriously. Now, you have to be a professional. You have to carry yourself in that manner and to understand that what you do is important to a lot of people. But, you know, I guess the most topical one is Deflategate. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about appeals and, you know, federal judges and arbitrators. I mean, we're talking about football, the air in football.
Practice.
You know, yeah, and it's come to this. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, Congress a couple of years ago having to intervene with Major League Baseball and performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, this is we're talking about, you know, nuclear disarmament elsewhere in the world.
And, right.
You know, Greece is defaulting again. But I mean, this is what we're captivated by in this country is deflated football. So we need perspective sometimes.
Yeah. Some of that, though, I think, and I think sports does this. I mean, it's just inherent. Sports just takes people away from the things that maybe would depress them or, you know, bum them out. And you're right, they're bigger issues. But to some extent, there's a benefit to removing those bigger issues from your life for 40 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour, whatever the game is, so that you can think about something that's more positive.
No, that's an excellent point. That's exactly what it's intended to be, and it's also part of the reason that we do the segment that we do on Tuesdays on my show, because people, again, you know, you keep it in perspective, but you also have to understand how much of this country's GDP is comprised of sports and sporting industry. You know, you've talked about it.
You're 20% of the United States GDP.
I'm not seeing anywhere close to that kind of money, but you know, it's big business in this country, so it matters a lot.
Yeah, and you know, I'll talk about the Deflategate. Just real quick, and we can kind of end that. They're trying to determine who knew what about a ball and everything else, right? Here's the reality. You got people trying to figure that out, and yet the IRS can't find emails that are stored on their database for, you know, 2.2 million taxpayers.
Yeah.
So, you know, to then all of a sudden get someone to squeal about a football because they stuck a needle in it. I mean, this is the problem. We're spending more time on that and more money and resources because it's entertainment and we don't want our entertainment tainted. But yet we're willing to allow this other stuff just continue to go on. And by the way, I'm just picking on the IRS here, but you could pick on all sorts of, you know, different parts of politics, right, in government. But that stuff is so maddening when you want your sport, you want your sport to be clean. And that becomes a problem with, you know, the Alex Rodriguez's and the steroids and deflated balls, and then you see the activity sometimes of the sad side of sports where, you know, there's the injury both mentally and physically and everything else. And
I think as a society we search for heroes, and maybe 100 years ago they were somewhere else, they weren't in sports, but today they're hard to find. Yeah. and sports has
Charles Barkley.
I got such coverage. Yeah. They're so accessible that when they fall, it is a big deal.
Yeah. I know we're short on time. What stands out to me, too, is that I was reading the transcripts of the appeal hearing between Brady and the NFL and the arbitrator or whatever. And I'm reading some of this stuff, and I'm just like, you have people with roles, specialists who are very good at what they do, you know, narrowly. And I'm, you know, reading people arguing, you know, about you know, explanatory variables and timing and PSI and people who are way beyond their element here in trying to do so. And it just kind of reminds me of some of these congressional hearings on climate change where you have people debating it, arguing about it, who literally know nothing about the topic.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and it doesn't make any sense to me why people can't step back and say, okay, we have specialists here. Let's let them do their jobs. Yeah.
So last question. You know, we're sitting here in front of us with a sports segment open, and it's talking about the Buckeyes and how they're armed at the quarterback position. And we know that ESPN's coming to Blacksburg, albeit a reduced lineup. They're not going to be putting the dog and pony show on. But Blacksburg is still going to be central stage that night, 8 o'clock. We talked about last year, the Virginia Tech and Ohio State game. I believed in it so much, I made the long road trip came back, calculated how much they made off of us and how much we made off of them. Even West Virginia, how much they got in tolls
from
Virginia Tech fans.
I got a lot of retweets on that tweet, by the way.
You did.
Yeah, people love that.
So the question is, this game here, how do you see it? How do you see the Virginia Tech? I know that you've said on air that you feel like it's going to be close, but with some of the recent, you know, suspensions and kind of the shakeups on both teams, how do you see it playing out?
Hokies win. I thought that before the Bosa suspensions and the other guys, but I just think, you know, you've got a better offensive line, but if you can just tell Brandon Faison and Kendall Fuller, and by the way, Faison is evidently just as healthy as he's been in a long time, which is huge. But with Chuck Clark and Donovan Riley and the others back there in the secondary, losing C.J. Revis hurts, but they'll be okay there. And you just allow Kendall Fuller and Brandon Faison and Chuck Clark just to go, you know, just to go ham on these new wide receivers, these couple of H-backs that are going to be very inexperienced. And then you allow Daddy and Kenneth Canem and Luther Matty and Corey Marshall just to pin their ears back and go get Ezekiel Elliott and JT Barrett.
So the key to the game is the defense.
I always love the matchup.
This is 15, 20 years ago Hokie football.
This is speed on speed. And this is that side of it's going to be really exciting. And then to not have maybe the best defensive player in the country on your defense, they're relying on underclassmen now too along that defensive line. And, you know, all they have to do, all Brewer has to do is just not throw the ball to the wrong team.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to win the game. I really do.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly hope so. And we'll be listening to your call pregame on that. Can't thank you enough for taking the time this morning. I know that we had to get you up on your Saturday, but appreciate you coming in, and we wish you all the best of luck.
Mark, it's fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming
in. Absolutely. Keith, you too.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. You're listening to AM Hodgepodge. We'll be right back. Get in your heart.